Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators matchup with the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. All of your pregame coverage starting at 6 o'clock on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. And joining us now is Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, always appreciate our weekly check-ins. So the Predators eliminated from playoff contention. Sad, but a lot scarier to think about where this team could have been if not for UC Saros. Do you think UC Saros has done enough this year to be in contention to be a Vezina finalist?
Absolutely. I like, Carolyn, that's the easiest question that you're ever going to ask me. Like, you have to understand that when Nick calls me, I start sweating because I know what's coming. But I
decided to lay off the heat this week.
That's good. You got me looking with the changeup because I was expecting the fastball. Carolyn, honestly, that's the easiest question you're ever going to ask me. Saros absolutely deserves Vezina consideration. It wouldn't surprise me if he got the occasional Hart Trophy vote too. I think he's had that kind of an impact on your team this season. One of the things people are talking about is how does everybody feel about the Predators after this year? Like, I'm sure there's a much better feeling now because of just the way that some of those young kids have played. And one of the reasons that those young kids have played well is that they know if they make a mistake, there's a chance it's not going to end up in their own net because the guy at the other end is so good. And I think that it's not a small consideration when you talk about the maturation and the confidence gained by your own players. So I think anybody who doesn't include Saros in the Vezina Trophy conversation is crazy.
Elliot, I'm curious. How much do you think, he played two great games on a big stage with a huge Canadian audience, right, with Winnipeg and Calgary. And even though the GMs are the voters and not the writers, I just wonder what kind of impression his performances against the Jets and the Flames might have on the way this thing goes, the perception, the narrative, all of that stuff.
I think it matters a little bit. I don't think there's any question about that. I think any time you have good games and places where people are watching, it helps and people notice. But the thing is, I think Saros is the kind of guy now, I think people know who he is. It's like Yossi, right? Everybody knows who Roman Yossi is. And I think Saros is the same way. Everybody just looks at him and they're like, oh, okay, well, he's really good. So does it help? Yes. But I think in his case, the acceptance and the understanding of how good he is already there.
Now, Elliot, the Predators made a lot of moves, just like a lot of other teams during the trade deadline. But they have some questions entering the offseason, in particular with Johansson and Duchesne. Do you expect them to be one or both? To be not a part of this team next year, considering what happened this year? Or do you expect, because of the contract and everything else, that they will be a part of this team? And the only reason I'm asking is because in their injuries, we've seen other young guys play a bigger role, and they have come in and did what the Predators have asked them to do.
I think the thing is, honestly, Derek, I really felt like when David Poile was the GM there, it was baked into the DNA that anybody who trades Shea Weber can do anything. You guys know how much Shea Weber meant to Nashville, and David Poile made what he thought was the right hockey deal for his team. And we don't know what kind of general manager Barry Trotz is going to be. But I kind of think that he knew everything that was going down at the deadline and didn't stand in the way of it. So what I look at, Derek, with your team here is, if they decide something makes sense for them and they decide that the price that they have to pay to do it makes sense for them, they're going to do it. Now, I think the most interesting thing that you hit on there is, what are the rules going to be next season? You take a look at, since the trade deadline, who are your top scorers? Well, it's guys like Novak, Tomasino, Evangelista, like all of these guys, Parsonen, they've done, even, you know, Kiefer Sherwood's a guy who's, I think, was in the top six when I checked last Saturday. So, like, these are all players who've earned a bit of a spot. So, to me, Derek, the bigger question is, when you set the lineup next year on your whiteboard, either in Barry Trotz's office or Jai Hines' office, what does it look like? Who's where? Like, when Forsberg is healthy, we know he's getting his spot. When Yossi is healthy, we know he's getting his spot. But what about some of the other spots? Like, where do you pencil, if everybody's healthy, where's Novak next year in your roster? Where's Evangelista? Where's Tomasino? Where are all these guys we just talked about? And to me, that's the question. When you put everybody together, where does everybody fit? And is everyone going to be okay with that? And the contracts are a big deal. And yes, you might have to, they're going to have to look and say, okay, if we want to move one of these guys, what price are we going to have to pay to do it? I think it's baked into the Nashville Predators pie, Derek, that they're not afraid to do something big or emotional if they feel it's right for them.
Elliot Friedman is with us, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, you hit on it. Some of the difficult decisions or difficult evaluations that Barry Trotz has as he's incoming as the Predators general manager. You know, going running back with the young guys, Duchene and Johansson, to DeMace's point. What do they do with John Hines next season? He's got a lot of difficult questions that he's going to have to answer. Just from your perspective, what do you think should be Barry Trotz's first order of business once he takes over full-time as general manager in July?
Well, I think probably, like, first of all, even though he doesn't officially take over until July, Carolyn, I think in a lot of ways he's going to be making a lot of these decisions. Like, I don't think David Poile is the kind of guy who's going to sit there and say, well, you're not in charge officially until July 1st, so you can't make the calls yet. No, I think Barry Trotz is very involved. I don't think Poile would operate any other way. So I think he's got to say, I mean, I think because of the clock, I think the first thing is probably, you know, what's the decision on the head coach? And I think that's probably the number one thing. And I'm sure when the season's over and Trotz meets the media, you know, I think that's what you guys are going to ask him. And like I told you, I think the way this year is finished and the way some of those young players have played, it absolutely helps Hines' case. You know, but then what they're going to do is they're going to start to determine the market. They're going to sit down. They're going to look at their roster. They're going to say, this is where we think everybody fits. And what they're going to do is they're going to go out there and they're going to say, okay, if we don't think this player is happy or we don't want this player to be here, they're going to start testing the market on these players. Like, if we want to do this, what are our options? And, you know, the tough thing, Carolyn, is it doesn't look like the cap is going to go up much this year, probably only about $1 million. We may be surprised, but it seems to be teetering the other way. So it's going to be that much harder for the Predators to find partners to do some of this stuff.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, I got one more for you on the Vezina part of it, because as I'm sure you've been made aware, we've done it on our broadcast. We've tried to look beyond, just to try to put in perspective the heat and the margin for error that UC Soros faces as compared to some of the other candidates. You know, Jake Oettinger, some of the other guys. And you know, obviously a guy like Connor Hellebuck, he has put the team on his back many times as well. But I'm curious, just from, you can't get in the mind of every general manager, but I've always been curious how deep a general manager will get into deciding who he's voting for, because he's got plenty of other things on his plate besides who to vote for the Vezina, right? When I'm voting for the Jack Adams or you're voting for the Norris, it's kind of our job, right? We're not doing other things at the time, not nearly what a general manager is doing. So I'm curious how deep they will look at some of the numbers that go beyond the surface of just goals against average, wins, the traditional stats.
I think I think it's like most things, really. I think some take it very, very seriously and would get insulted if you suggested to them they didn't. As a matter of fact, I once said, made a crack like that, and one GM almost separated my head from the rest of my body.
Oh.
And so some of them, I think, do take it very seriously. I think some of them, Like, I know when I'm voting for the awards, I'll ask some of the other people, like, what are you thinking? Like, ultimately, I'll make my decision, but I want to listen. I think some of these guys, they do ask around, and they say, what are you thinking? Like, just give me an idea of this guy you face. I think for the most part, they take it pretty seriously. And I will say this. I think that it was about, I want to say it was one of the years, I think Chicago won a cup. I remember there was some voting done, and it involved the late Ray Emery. He had an unbelievable record, but he wasn't Chicago's starter, and he got a Vezina vote. And I remember the guys told me that among the GMs, the bleep hit the fan on that one, because there was like an accusation that someone voted for Emery because it would help their goaltender. And I heard after that, look, we're not perfect. We make mistakes. People say maybe you guys shouldn't have the vote. And ultimately, people can decide what they want to do. But I remember a couple of GMs told me that after that one, there came a lot of talk that, we have to take this very seriously. And I think the vast majority of them do.
All right, leave us with this. We were just reminiscing the other day, or just right before you came on, actually, about the 2017 run and how these last matchups can change who plays who. It's a meaningless game for some, but it can change the seeds and the matchups. Nashville got matched up with Chicago in 2017 because they lost the last game against the Jets. It changed late, and obviously it worked out really well. And so Jonathan Toews, the long nemesis of the Predators, right? He was always that guy, though. He wasn't the villain. He was one of those guys you respected, but you couldn't stand him because he's so good. It's a big night for him tonight in Chicago. But tell us what's going on there. Like, does he want to play beyond this year?
I think he does. I do think he does. I think there's two issues there, really. I think number one is where. I think there are certain places he would probably prefer to go. And the second, I think, is just his health. Like, he's been through a lot. He's battled, I guess it's kind of an autoimmune issue. I think long COVID, he's had some real battles with that. Like, I know when he was out of the lineup this year due to illness, like, it really knocked his body, like, out of hockey shape. And it was a real battle to get back in. And so I think between, what's available for him and how healthy, like, the base answer to your question is yes. I think he'd like to play again, really. I just think it comes down to where and how healthy he is. Because, if it's going to be this much of a battle, and like a lot of these players, when they reach that level, there's a certain place they don't want to drop from. They believe, like, no, if I'm Jonathan Toews, I'm going to try to play like Jonathan Toews. And if that's not possible, I think there's less of a chance that he would play.
So under the circumstances, you think that was the right thing for the Blackhawks to do? I mean, they want to send him off the right way.
Well, I just think that I think it was the right thing to do in terms of if the fans want to get to the game tonight and say goodbye, yes, I think you give them that opportunity. Like, the one thing is, I think this was decided a long time ago. Like, I think Kane wanted to extend, and it was kind of made clear to him that wasn't going to happen. And maybe Toews thought that there would be a chance for it to change. And ultimately, in Seattle the other day, they said, no, it's not changing. But I think in the eyes of the Blackhawks, this has been the case for some time that they've indicated that it was time to start fresh.
Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, always enjoy chatting with you, Elliot. I promise next week I will come in a little bit more hot.
You know what? It's like stepping into the box against Nolan Ryan, Carolyn. I know I better be ready on that back foot to duck.
So got to keep you on your toes.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. You absolutely do.
All right. Thank you, Elliot. We'll chat with you next week. We asked Elliot a few questions about from Barry Trotz's point of view. Barry Trotz will be on Stillman & Company at 5:30 today, so I know Jared will have a few questions for Barry Trotz about so along the same lines of some of the things we asked Elliot. So Barry Trotz at 5:30 on Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. And coming up next, we will get into some of your thoughts. We have some spicy takes on the text line, so we'll get into those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
you guys approach these final two games here?
And it's difficult. I mean, I don't know if you, there's really no right way to say it. I mean, you know, I'm certainly still playing with pride, number one. There's some guys having some great seasons, specifically Saros has been unbelievable. And so I think there's one thing we should hang our hat on is to put forth a good effort for him, because he's gave us every chance every night to win try to make this push here to make the playoffs. So I think that's what our focus will be, is playing hard for our goalies. Both of them have been unbelievable. So you definitely want to feel good about yourself regardless after putting in an effort.
That was Ryan McDonough on how this team finishes out the rest of the season, the final two games. It can kind of feel like a drag. You know, you're not making the playoffs, but we got to finish out the season somehow. It's like your final week of senior year. You're already graduating. You already know you're going to be done. It's just, let's just get these through these next few tests, these next few days. So that's kind of the challenge facing the Predators now, is these final two games of the season. They know they're out of the playoffs, but they still have Vezina hopes alive for UC Saros. Is that really what this team is playing for? Kind of, you know, their biggest priority with the rest of the season?
I think it is.
I think it should be.
The players are saying it. You know, listen, we want to, one, you never want to end the, regardless of what your situation is. And obviously we know that the Predators, you know, this group of guys did everything they possibly can do on the ice to try to make a playoff berth. And it just didn't happen because, you know, frankly, it was out of their control. They won the games, but they had to wait for other teams to either win or lose. And as a player, you hate to have somebody else. You hate to have your fate in someone else's hands when it comes to that. But it still doesn't mean that you can't go out these last two games and play at a high level. And if for nothing else, play for your goalie. Because what he has done, and he said, what he has done, especially since the trade deadline, he's given us an opportunity to win every single game by the way he played. And, you know, you just got to, you got to take your hats off to UC, because like any other veteran guy, you could have said, man, we ain't, like, they're making all these moves. And you talked about it, Willie. They're making all these moves. A veteran guy, you know, possibly have the mind thought of, this team, they ain't going for it. We're not trying to win. So it's kind of, you kind of take your foot off the gas
yeah,
pedal.
Let's just,
but
you know,
UC hasn't. It seemed like he played even harder. And guys recognize that in that locker room. So they want to make sure these next two games, they go out, if it's not just for themselves, it's for UC to make sure you go out on a winning note.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way of putting it. And he also, I think the guys will take pride if he gets rewarded as a Vezina finalist, which I really feel like he should. And the stats count, right? I think the guys know if they if they just lay down and Minnesota scores five or six goals, that affects the stats of UC Saros. And that, you know, there's probably some GMs that already have a pretty good idea who they're voting for, but presumably this would be the last game that Saros will play. They would go with Kevin Lankinen tomorrow, I think, probably, if it's back-to-back situation like they normally go with it. And Lankinen's played really well in addition. So I think you feel partially responsible for how your goalie does, and so you want to play well. So you find reasons to compete, and there's still a lot of guys that are going to be playing for the Predators tonight that are, you know, want to make that good last impression.
Yeah.
They're having the final year meetings. I think they've already met with some of the guys who will probably go straight from here to Milwaukee to try to win a championship for the Admirals and continue their development path. So there's a lot of different reasons, but I think it comes down to, look, you're a pro. When you're a pro, you play hard, right? You do your job.
I think it's a much different perspective here than it is maybe, say, in Pittsburgh. When you have guys who have been in the league for a very long time, they're out of the playoffs. It's a different perspective from a young guy who's saying, okay, I still can make a name for myself. I'm still proving myself in this league versus, all right, I'm Sidney Crosby and I've been in the league for the last 75 years. You know, I'm over it. I'm over not playing for anything. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your phones next. We haven't gotten enough thoughts from you, so we will get into your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. Anything is on the table. Jeffrey Simmons, Titans, draft, Predators, All of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. And hey, tune in for Sounds Baseball tonight on at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Norfolk Tide, the AAA affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Now, Willie has a trivia question for everyone. And the first correct answer to Willie's trivia question will win a pair of tickets to see The Used and Pierce the Veil at Municipal Auditorium on May 31st. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Call in with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question.
All right. There's a lot of crossover between the Predators and the Wild. Less so for the Predators now than there was the last time these two teams met. And that was a really, really tight game, a pivotal game in the Predators' regular season when they lost that crazy bounce game at the end where the puck bounced off of Ryan McDonagh and then bounced off of Ryan Hartman and then into the net for the game-winning goal in the final seconds. That was a crushing one. But we note all the time, the Wild have a lot of people that used to be involved with the Predators in some form or fashion, including their head coach. So that is going to be the question today. Who is the head coach of the Wild? Because he, once upon a time, was the coach of the Milwaukee Admirals for a long time. And so he coached a lot of the Predators who have come up through the ranks, including the likes of Colton Sissons, Roman Yossi, guys like that. So he goes way back with those guys. So call in if you want to win the trivia today and tell us who the coach of the Minnesota Wild is. 615-737-1025. You must call to get the prize.
And the prize is a good one. So the first person with the correct answer to Willie's trivia question will win a pair of tickets to see The Used and Pierce the Veil at Municipal Auditorium on May 31st. Good luck with that, unless we have some thoughts.
Let's go to the phone.
To the phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have a thought. Graham texted into the text line and said, what are your thoughts on the Grizzlies versus Lakers? D-Mace, this might be your wheelhouse.
Oh, D-Mace.
Talk to me. Dylan Brooks being ousted as the villain makes my heart happy. Would love to see them shut down LeBron 4-0.
Oh,
Grizz
and
goodness.
Grizz and four. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't know if it's going to happen either.
I think, well, you and I talking, Willie, off
yep,
air?
Yep.
Yeah. And Dylan Brooks called. He said he wouldn't mind playing LeBron James. Well, Mr. Dylan Brooks, you have gotten your wish. You will play LeBron James in the first round of the NBA playoffs. And I think this series goes six games. The problem with Memphis is, other than Jaren Jackson Jr., they don't have size in the middle to stop Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. And right now, Anthony Davis is playing at a high level. We all knew if he could stay healthy, he's a dominant player. He's one of the best big men in the game.
Which is sometimes an if.
Yeah, sometimes
if
it's an
if. If
he can stay
healthy.
Well, he's been healthy, and he's been dominant. He's averaging a double-double in the last, I think, two or three months. So go AD, so go the Los Angeles Lakers, minus LeBron. LeBron's going to do what he needs to do. But this team advanced if AD plays the way he's capable of playing. And he has been playing that way. They don't have an answer for AD. Jaren Jackson gets in too much foul trouble. As good as he is as a big man, he can't stay out of foul trouble. Now, the Lakers don't have an answer for Ja Morant. But that's Ja versus five other guys. You're going to get something out of Dylan Brooks, yes. They got a nice group of players, but I think they're just, at this point, too young, too immature, and they don't have their big men they're going to need to combat AD. You need to be physical with AD. And I don't think, because of Jaren Jackson's foul history, him getting in foul trouble very quickly, he can't be that way with AD. So I'm picking the Lakers in six. AD is going to dominate the series. LeBron's going to do what he needs to do. Ja Morant's going to go off, but they are going to allow Ja Morant to score 30 points. It's not letting Dylan Brooks and those other guys get into the game.
And if Ja beats us,
then
fine.
You beat us, yeah. You beat us. But they're not going to let those other guys contribute to the Memphis Grizzlies winning this series. I believe the Lakers win the first game of the series, and by doing that, now they switch home court advantage, and they win in six.
I'm really excited to see what the Grizzlies, as they've built this group, they've had a little more playoff success, and now they're sort of in that group of teams that they know they're going to be there, and it's just all the 82 games are just make sure you got a spot, and then from there, that's when you start putting in a gear. Like, do they have championship material? Like, they've been a young team that's been building here. It's been fun to watch, but can they go next level? And what an amazing matchup to take on LeBron and the Lakers right at the start.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's a more difficult or daunting task than that round of the playoffs?
Well, I mean, the Lakers did a hell of a job at the trade deadline. They went and got D'Angelo Russell. Austin Reeves has been playing tremendous basketball. They didn't get him. That was a draft pick. Dennis Schroeder has been playing well. Vanderbilt, who they got in a trade as well, he's been playing well. So, after the trade deadline.
Not the school Vanderbilt. Yeah, not the school player Vanderbilt.
Different Vandy.
He didn't go to Vanderbilt.
Exactly. But what they've done after the trade deadline were getting rid of certain players that didn't fit what they were doing and bringing in much younger, better athletic, a better shooting team, because that's what LeBron and AD needed. They needed a better shooting cast around them. LeBron's going to score. AD's going to do his thing, but we need guys that can knock down three-pointers. Here comes D'Angelo Russell, and Austin Reeves has stepped up this year.
NBA insider Derek Mason,
I love
everyone.
It. I love it. You can ask me whatever you want to ask me about the NBA.
Weston Hermitage Texan says, this might be a hot take. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
When Joe Burrow was in the draft, there wasn't a team that was scared or iffy. You knew that what he was and what he was going to be. There's not a quarterback like that in this year's draft. I feel like the big star quarterback comes next year. I don't know if Bryce Young is even a sure thing. I understand you can't plan on drafting this early next year, but either way, the price is going to be very steep for anybody to ever move up and get that star quarterback. Why not just save as much as you can this year, then splurge next year? There's three beast quarterbacks in next year's draft.
Again, we go back to who says you're going to be in a position to draft these guys? And then two, little hands Burrow, they were talking about his small hands, weren't they?
They were.
Exactly.
His baby hands.
Exactly. So everybody, whether you are Peyton Manning or Joe Burrow, no one goes into the draft like there's nothing wrong with that player. Even the most surefire player, there's still someone saying, well, what about this? Well, what about this? There's always going to be a guy like that. So,
Also, if we're going to bring up the Joe Burrow example, this time of the year before Joe Burrow got drafted, so this would have been April 2019. I remember having conversations with people and saying, I just don't think Joe Burrow is the guy. Like, he's fine. You know, you'll get us to an 8, 9, 10 win season, but, like, that's really going to be it. And then he became Joe Burrow. So there are a lot of things change in a year. The guy, the Caleb Williams and the Drake Mays, who we may think are just absolutely lights out, going to be 1-2 in next year's draft – things can change, and maybe, knock on wood, one of them gets hurt. Maybe, knock on wood, one of them has a horrible season this year. Things change. Maybe there's a quarterback in next year's draft that is good but hasn't emerged as being elite yet, but is going to do that this year. That's going to push some of these other quarterbacks down. So you never know what can happen in a draft. And, you know, I don't know if anybody thought that, you know, everyone thought may have thought that Trevor Lawrence would have been in a Super Bowl by now. He was drafted first overall. He hasn't been in a Super Bowl yet. If I'm a Jacksonville Jags fan, I probably feel really encouraged by what I've seen from Trevor Lawrence yet. But is he a sure thing?
No player is a sure thing. More players have a bigger upside and a bigger sample size to say and predict that, okay, this is what this player will be. But to say that there's no quarterback in this year's draft that could potentially be a surefire hit, Bryce Young is a surefire hit. There's nothing about his play that anyone is knocking. Nothing. There is nothing about the way this man plays no one's knocking. What are they knocking? His height. oh, he's 5'11", 180 pounds. That's the only thing. And y'all act like this man has been in bubble wrap his whole career in college. He did get hit in college last time I checked. So as far as his physical, as far as his talent to play the quarterback position, there hasn't been any question. Correct me if I'm wrong. There hasn't been any question about his talent to play the quarterback
size.
Position. It's just the size.
We've seen the talent.
Exactly.
We've seen that on
there.
Full display. I mean, he is responsible single-handedly for a lot of Alabama's wins.
I will put his talent, like just talent, up against Joe Burrow. I would. I will put
I
his talent,
fair.
The way he's been playing, I put his talent up against any quarterback that has come out the last 10 or 15 years. He would match him talent for talent, stat for stat.
His mentality also is something
exactly.
that you don't find very often. He is so even keel that mm-hmm. he can walk into practice and into the biggest game of the season and have the exact same heart rate, I think is a special quality.
Mm-hmm.
But size is a realistic thing.
Yeah.
If a GM is concerned about him getting hurt and the size being the reason, I don't blame that general manager for having some apprehensions. But also Bryce Young does so many things. So well. He was the best player on the field, even in games that they lost. Against Tennessee, he was the best player
on either
sideline.
Every time he stepped on the field.
He was the best quarterback in college football.
Yes.
Yeah. He's special. But the size, I get the size. I understand the size. Doug and Franklin Texans asked D-Mace, do athletes take out career-ending injury insurance when they are in the NFL?
No. Not that I know of anyway. Maybe they do, like, in that contract year,
mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of guys do that. And if I can remember, I think I did take out one that last year because you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going into your contract year that last year, you can get hurt. It's not taking out, you know, an insurance policy because of my production. It's taking out insurance policy because I might have a, you know, career-ending injury. So, you know, I need, you know, something that's going to protect me from that. So, but beside that, I haven't heard of a guy, you know, taking out an insurance policy. I've heard guys take it out right before the draft, like
yeah.
their senior season
mm-hmm.
in college, yes, or that contract year, yes, but like as a whole, no. Uh-uh.
Why not?
Because it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. It's like, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, if I already, like Jeffrey Simmons, for instance, I've already signed my contract. I'm already guaranteed X amount of money. And that X amount of money, if I do it right, I should be able to live off of, and my children should be able to live off of it as well if it's invested right.
Mm-hmm.
So why do I need to then pay an insurance company, you know, a premium just to have that? And how long am I going to hold that insurance policy?
When that contract
know?
Really
exactly.
is your insurance policy.
The contract is my insurance policy. So that's why we talk about the guarantee money. How much guarantee money can I get? So I don't need to take out an insurance policy.
That makes sense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, there's something in the NFL that I think we all feel like is pretty much going to happen. It feels good as done. But there is the teeniest, tiniest possibility that it doesn't get done. And if it doesn't, that could affect the Tennessee Titans. And we will get into that coming up next. And tune into Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for the first three rounds on Thursday, April 27th and Friday, April 28th. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, D&M Development, Smoky Mountaintops, Parman Energy, and B&B Flooring. Caroline Willie D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities to support a great cause and have loads of fun doing it. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. So Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports joins Robbie and Rexroad every week, and he was on this morning with Robbie and Rexroad, and they asked him about the Aaron Rodgers New York Jets situation, because even though we haven't really talked about it a ton, still is not done. It is still a deal that has not been inked quite yet. And Charles Robinson said that the holdup is the first round pick situation. That the Packers want a first round pick. The Jets do not want to give up a first round pick for Aaron Rodgers. And I see both sides of this, of the situation. If I'm Green Bay, I'm saying, it's Aaron freaking Rodgers. Give me a first round pick. And if I'm the Jets, I'm saying, I'm paying him $100 million. No, I'm not going to give you the pick and I'm not going to give you the money. So I don't blame either side, but just my interpretation of what Charles had to say was kind of at a standstill there, that it's the neither side is backing down, and that is what is holding up Aaron Rodgers from officially becoming a New York Jet. Now, I think it's going to happen. I think the general consensus is the deal's going to get done at some point.
Yeah, you're committed to it now in the sense of everybody knows the cat is out of the bag. Everybody knows you want Rodgers, and Rodgers wants to go to the Jets, and the Green Bay Packers want to get rid of Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So y'all can play this, you know, back and forth tug of war all you want to. Ultimately, you know, the Jets don't want to go into the season without Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay Packers don't want to go into the season with Aaron Rodgers on their roster.
Right.
So they're going to, I mean, they're going to make something happen. Maybe during the draft or subsequently right after the draft, I think something will happen.
Okay, but we predicted that it would get to this,
yes.
Right?
Because yes.
Yeah.
Both sides would have an argument. Well, we're going to trade you Aaron Rodgers. Come on. This is Aaron Rodgers. You got to give
Rodgers.
Us something back. We should get a first-round pick. The Jets are going, well, who else is calling you?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers just went on TV, on the podcast, and said, I'll play for the Jets. There's no other team that will do that. We're the only team that's going to take him off your hands. We are not giving you anything. I really think the Jets have more leverage here. I think they can wait it out. I think the Packers just know that this has to be over. We cannot go back now. So I think they're going to get the lesser end of the deal as long as they want to wait. Now, the draft is coming, right? So if you want to make a deal that involves draft picks this year, you better get on it. That's the deadline. But, like, the waiting game, the game of chicken or whatever, I'd rather be the Jets than the Packers.
I understand what you're saying, and I like what you're saying. It could be 100% right. The Jets are getting Aaron Rodgers, but they want to add more help for him. And obviously Green Bay wants help for their starting quarterback, Love, whoever it's going to be. I don't think the Jets want to give up their first rounder this year. Next year would be a different story. Why? Because they assume next year we're going to be a lot better, so we're going to be picking at the bottom of the first round anyway. So y'all can have that pick, but this pick we really want because maybe there's a player that they believe can fall to them at that pick that's going to help them.
That's a very fair point that, hey, we'll give you 2024 first-round pick. So I think it's going to get done. It has to get done. It has. Green Bay wants out from Aaron Rodgers so badly, and the Jets are almost guaranteed to their fan base that they're going to have Aaron Rodgers. The deal's going to get done. It has to get done. But it's not done. So there is the teeniest, tiniest possibility that Aaron Rodgers could be a Green Bay Packer next year. That both sides are not willing to back down, and it just never happens. So then what does New York do? Charles Robinson was on with Robbie and Rexford this morning and gave an alternative for the Jets.
You do kind of go down the avenue now of, okay, well, what would be the plan B? If there's any plan B out there, I think the easiest plan B for the Jets, if just absolutely stunnered it doesn't work out with Aaron Rodgers, I think the easiest plan B is actually Tannehill. I really do. And I don't know when that would have to happen. I don't know when, you know, if it's something where if the Titans were inclined to work a deal, whether they would want to do it before the draft or after. Most of the time, you know, teams want to do it before, obviously. But I do think that's probably the easiest low rent, low compensation type of deal that would be there for the Jets if they just decide, hey, you know what? This isn't working with Rodgers. Like, we got to walk away. And it's not Aaron's fault. It's just the Packers aren't budging on this, and we're not going to screw with this anymore.
Okay. I would tend to agree that the Jets' second best option behind Aaron Rodgers at this point is Tannehill. Mm-hmm. He's a legitimate starting quarterback in this league. He's not Aaron Rodgers, But he's an option, and he's the best option out there. He's not Jimmy Garoppolo or Baker Mayfield or any other, you know, quarterback free agent at this point. But I'll always go back to, if that happens, then what's the Titans' plan?
The Titans' plan would be this. If it happens during the – because this has to happen, I think. It has to happen during the draft, this whole move, if indeed they go after Tannehill. This happened,
the Titans would need a quarterback.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It has to happen during the draft. And the Titans are going to want enough in return so then they can package that with them moving up. So we're not – if I give you Tannehill, maybe I'm asking for your second this year. Not necessarily your first because, you know, I mean, they can try to get a first. But more realistically, it's give me your second this year. And maybe something else. So now I do that knowing that I potentially have a deal to move up. Now I got to figure out what that deal to move up entails. If it entails a first, switching first, and maybe a first next year and a second, well, I can use that second that I just got and package it in with moving up. But nothing's going to happen until I find out realistically what it's going to cost for me to move up. Now, if they don't do it before the draft, I can't see them doing after the draft because unless the Titans get their quarterback, I can't see them then trading away Ryan Tannehill for future picks next year.
But I think the only way that that makes sense is if you can go to one or two. And I don't even know if that's possible.
You can go to three and still get the quarterback that you love.
So, but okay, let's say if you get Anthony Richardson, for example.
They got to love him.
What have we said about Anthony Richardson? The one caveat that you have to give him a year.
Yeah.
You got to give him time. You got to let him develop. So then who's your quarterback?
Well, you find a quarterback. You'll get a quarterback.
I'm going to enter this into the discussion.
Okay.
You don't have to have the quarterback this year, even if you trade Daniel. You could get a placeholder.
Yeah.
You could get a placeholder for a year, and you would have to maybe use the R word, the rebuild word, and like the texter said earlier, maybe you throw your hat in the ring for the next year's crop where you might – pick a little higher to start with. Just throwing that out there, it is an option if it gets to that. If you get blown away for the Tannehill offer. And that's, you'll be in the catbird seat. If the Jets come calling, they're pretty desperate.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like it, but the Jets are going to be desperate. If it falls through with Aaron Rodgers, they're going to be desperate. How desperate can they be?
Take advantage. Take advantage of who's desperate.
Yeah, I don't like it, but... it's a possibility. That's going to do it for us today. Stillman & Company is up next. Barry Trotz with Jared Stillman at 5:30. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Predators in action tonight at 7 o'clock. Pre-game at 6.
Be love and love on somebody. Peace.